And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic. Intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, you had a busy weekend out there at Hawkins Field. How's life? What's going on?
I swear I unmuted myself. Good start. Yeah, life's just fine. Just fine. Yeah, a lot of baseball. Not a lot of good baseball for Vanderbilt. A lot of good baseball for Tennessee. And I'm kind of sick this morning. That's how I'm doing.
Wow, that's good. It's always great. The text line and Twitter is hopping already this morning. Josh from Jackson on the text line says, good morning, gentlemen. Checked my broom yesterday and come to find out it doesn't have a sticker on it. Had to ship it to Vandy to get it verified. Go Vols. Josh already taking this before the show even began. Josh already taking shots at Vanderbilt. And Pam on Twitter says, walking out of the gym this morning, opened the door for a gentleman walking in with his hands full. He said absolutely nothing and walked right in. It's an epidemic. I mean, the text line and Twitter were off to a great start. We're only at 6:01 on Monday morning.
Yeah, the whole Vanderbilt Tennessee cheating thing is real interesting.
Yeah, it
got
is.
Got a lot of information on that to share this show. But I will also say, on that front, I've been even going out of my way to open the doors for people. I have yet to have a person who didn't say thank you.
Well, you're in the right part of town then, apparently.
Apparently, this is a big deal. All over town.
Maybe you're just much more friendly than I am. I don't know. You got a more inviting face, more welcoming aura.
Or intimidating.
Well, maybe that.
Maybe the people are just afraid.
Maybe
you
so.
Know? I mean, that's how I'd like to look at it. You know, you better damn well say thank you.
Maybe so. Michelle, what's going on? How was your weekend?
My weekend was actually really great. You know, Nick right here is like, Michelle, what did you do this weekend? And genuinely, it's what, 6 a.m. on Monday, and I have no idea what I did Saturday.
That's good.
I'm like, oh, yeah, on Saturday I had a great day, and I actually just can't remember. So that's actually fabulous. But other than that, that's good. We got the car situation figured out.
Oh, good.
My mom is an absolute angel sent from heaven. So, yeah, basically the body shop's paying for my rental car now.
Nice.
So. We're all good here. So you can take as long as you want to finish my car.
So an effective red rant on Friday with some results that have been yielded over the weekend. It's good stuff.
Very, very effective. And my mom has red hair too, so hopefully she red ranted them.
The double red rant. I like it. It's good stuff. We'll get back into the Vandy, Tennessee stuff coming up at 6:30 because it was a pretty interesting weekend over there at Hawkins Field. We'll start with the women's championship game last night. Congratulations to South Carolina winning the national title. They take down Gino Auriemma and the UConn Huskies 64-49, the final score in a game where it got close at one point in the game and then South Carolina pulled away again towards the end. 64-49, the final. The Gamecocks get it done. Dawn Staley and company winning another national title. Title number two for South Carolina.
Yes, and all-time loss in the national championship game number one for Gino Auriemma.
Pretty incredible.
Which is incredible. I mean, he was 11-0. So he's 11-1 now. And once you know, it's been quite a drought here for UConn, which I think a lot of people who aren't UConn fans are not sad about. But, you know, kudos to them for getting there. And then South Carolina's been the best team all year. I think they demonstrated again, you know, we saw them in Nashville slip up, lose to Kentucky, but sometimes that's good for teams to have a little need a little bit of a reset going into the tournament. They were just great. I mean, Destiny Henderson, just unbelievable yesterday, 26 points. And Aaliyah Boston, I don't know if you guys saw this, but at the end of the late, like on the celebration on the floor, she was talking about how last year when they lost, you know, it was like her crying became like this thing that was constantly replayed and stuff.
Yeah.
But then she started crying again. She's like, but wait, she's like, but these are happy tears. And then she's like, okay, I want you to record this. She was basically like, here's me smiling. We want it all.
Yes.
Thank you.
You know, like, somebody make a GIF out of this.
Yeah. But pretty awesome. She's pretty great. And so is Dawn Staley. I've been a Dawn Staley fan. I'd like to raise my hand. I've never liked the University of Virginia team in anything. I can't stand UVA. Shout out to John Glennon and your tie wearing football fans That's on right. Saturdays. But I loved the UVA women's hoops team that won it all with Dawn Staley, just because watching her was unbelievable. So we're going way back, and she is a force in sports. So it's pretty cool. She's now 2-0. Someone asked her the other day, like, "What about Gino Auriemma? 11-0?" She's like, "Well, we're undefeated too. I mean, 1-0.
100%.
Now make it 2-0, and gosh, they get Boston back next year too. So I mean, it's. They're quite a program right now.
Well, they are. And speaking of Aaliyah Boston, I think I saw a stat where she had 34 rebounds in the Final Four. So the two games in the Final Four, which is third most in NCAA tournament history. It's pretty intense. It's insane.
That seems good.
34 in two games.
Yeah, it's and then yeah, she's just a really heady player. Great team. You know, Paige Becker's in her hometown. I mean, that was cool, but. Yeah, they made a couple runs, but for the most part, man, South Carolina, just the clear best team. So that's one Carolina, you know, one Carolina I think has made America happy. I would say, like I mean, correct. I don't think, I don't know, maybe are people not as down on UConn because they haven't won one in a few years now? I don't know.
No,
I mean, I know Tennessee's different.
Heavily pulling for South Carolina. Yeah, get UConn out.
You are a Tennessee fan, though.
Yes.
So that's never going to change. But I think you're probably right, though. I mean, I still think there's probably some level of UConn fatigue, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know, that can become South Carolina fatigue at some point a few years down sure. the road if things keep going the way they're going for them. But and now, of course, you know, the other Carolina, which absolutely should not be playing Monday night, and it's still actually shocking to think about it, is playing for it all. And I think playing for America – in this instance as well, because I, or at least I hope so. I mean, I hope most people are rooting against Kansas around the country. Am I right? Are they? I don't think so.
I don't know. I think a lot of people are rooting against Duke for sure for North Carolina. I don't know if it's going to be quite the same with Kansas, but I really like Hubert Davis. So I think I might be rooting for North Carolina in this game for sure. What a game on Saturday between Duke and North Carolina. The Villanova Kansas game was, not great on Saturday. Kansas really was in control from start to finish of that game. They went 81-65 against Villanova. North Carolina Duke, a different story. The Tar Heels win 81-77 and send Coach K home packing in that game. Joe, what was your reaction to the game with all sorts of hype leading into it? 81-77, the final. Lived up to the hype.
I mean, it was... to me, a bit stunning that it was as good as it was. It was so good that, you know, Vanderbilt loses to Tennessee and the entire, like, Vanderbilt staff that was on hand gathered around a TV in the press box watching the last, like, 5 minutes of the game, oohing and eyeing every single play. And it was like, they make a huge shot. Now they take the lead. They make it. It was – what a game. I mean – in terms of living up to the hype, I don't know that there are many better examples than that one. You know, and it's just funny how if you watch that game over the years, yeah, there's the occasional blowout. In fact, I mean, there were two blowouts this year, but so many of those games are just insanely close and high level and back and forth. But again, that's Duke and Carolina in Cameron or in the Dean Dome. And for them to take it to this stage and have that kind of game was pretty amazing. And then, I mean, look, for North Carolina to actually pull it off and end Krzyzewski's career like that. I mean, they want the rivalry to me is over. They should stop scheduling each other.
Just
they
done.
They should be like Duke actually should just have to go to the SoCon now. You know,
just get them out.
Duke, you are relegated to the SoCon and you don't ever get to play Carolina again. The rivalry, like this ended a rivalry.
I love that. That's good stuff. It is amazing that Coach K finishes 50-50 against North Carolina in his career now. So that was the 100th game that Coach K has coached against North Carolina, and he ends straight up even at 50. Had a chance to legitimately just go out on top, win 51-49, it's over, and then you lose. You lost the last two in a row, 50-50, the split between Coach K and the North Carolina Tar Heels.
Like when North Carolina came into their building in the finale,
yeah,
there was no way that he was not going to finish his career with a winning record against North Carolina.
I know.
You know? He's 50. So he's 50-48. So you figure, okay, he's going to end up 51-48. Nice. He ends up 50-50. Unbelievable. And it did look like – out on Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, they actually even upped their game a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
compared to the other one. I mean, man. And Roy Williams, I don't know if you saw, but Roy Williams in the crowd, like you've never acted like that when you won national titles, man. My God.
He was very excited. It was incredible. Just an incredible game. And Baycott had 21 rebounds in that game for North Carolina. You know, Love, 28 points. R.J. Davis, 18 points. It was just – it was an incredible game, and you're talking about an 8 seed at this point that's made the run to the national title game. This has been quite the story in the tournament with Hubert Davis.
Yeah, I mean, terrible team earlier this year.
Yeah.
Terrible team. Tennessee crushes them. Like, everybody was blowing them out. Everybody's talking about, you know, Carolina fans, like, oh, Hubert Davis, oh, no. You know, comparing him to Bill Guthridge, if anybody remembers, you know, Dean Smith handed it off to Bill Guthridge.
Oh, yeah.
It did not go well at all. And it was like, you don't want to be the one who follows the great coach. And it worked out that way for Bill Guthridge. But they're here and they look really good. I don't know how they were ever bad as I watched them play.
Yeah.
You know, because they've got the guts thing. If don't trust a team that looks bad if it has a ton of talent early in a season, you know, because Carolina had a ton of talent. But that Caleb Love three up one at the end, just pulling shot. That's an all-timer right there.
That was a great shot, great game, and we're off and running here on Robbie and Rex Road this morning, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on a wild game between Duke and North Carolina. We'll look ahead to North Carolina and Kansas coming up tonight in the national title game as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join us for Smashville Live this Wednesday on 102.5 The Game. Smashville Live airs on Wednesdays during the Preds season from 6 to 7 p.m. featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can watch the show via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us for Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Monday morning. Looking ahead to the national title game tonight, North Carolina taking on Kansas in a matchup where, talk about an emotional run here for North Carolina. You get to play your rival against Duke in the Final Four and all the emotion that went into that game. And then you just got to turn around and play for the national title tonight against Kansas as well. So what do you make of this matchup, Joe Rexroad, as you look at the title game tonight in the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship game between North Carolina and Kansas? And what sort of chances do you give North Carolina to finish this thing off and get it done tonight against the Jayhawks?
Well, I think that this is the most being a good guy, quote unquote, that North Carolina could ever possibly be. Again, I could be wrong, but I think Hubert Davis is likable, way more likable than Roy Williams. I enjoyed Roy's celebration the other night, but you know, Roy Williams, Hubert Davis, there's a difference in likability. And you know, Bill Self, I don't know, man. I don't know. I keep waiting for like people to hate Bill Self. I guess Bill Self's kind of, I mean, his personality helps maybe brush aside some of all this stuff with the NCAA. But I mean, you're talking about a guy who really there's not much difference between the Bill Self and Will Wade stuff, other than Will Wade had like the money quote, the strong ass offer, you know? I mean, so Will Wade had like like really brazen quotes, but Bill Self's caught on tape on these investigations. I mean, it's very, very clear what is going on, you know, and it's very possible that Kansas could win it all tonight and then next year not be in the tournament. I think that's not at all far-fetched to think that could happen. So I think also, you know, the fact that Bill Self has one title, really he should have more than that. But then again, there's another coach I can think of. You can say that. There's others, you know. But I think that North Carolina is the it will be as rooted for in a big game as they have been just because of the Kansas situation. I also think Kansas is better.
Well, I can tell you this. I mean, they shot 54% from three the other night, and they must have made most of those in the first half because I was sitting there watching them play in the first half the other night, and then, you know, all of a sudden you look up and it's 36-18 Kansas. I mean, they're just hitting everything in the game. They shoot like that. Like, it's gonna be tough for North Carolina. But, you know, it's one of those things, too. Like, you're looking around at North Carolina. You brought it up in the last segment. They've always had talent, and now they've found a way to put it together. And I don't know. I think this is going to be a really, really good game. Kansas is the favorite in this game, but I think this is going to be a really, really good national title game tonight. I hope I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I think so, too. I hope so. I hope so. I mean, look, North Carolina's playing so well, and they have – I mean, they've maintained this. Obviously, you can't get here – if you aren't playing well. I mean, what they did to Baylor in the first, like, 30 minutes of that game was, whoa, that's some of the best basketball we've seen anybody play in this tournament. And they've had other great stretches, obviously. So, if they play their best, Kansas plays the way they've been playing, I think I probably would still favor Kansas a little bit. But if that's the case, I think we are going to get a really good game. And Hubert Davis at the end of the night could have as many titles as Bill Self and John Calipari.
Yes, he could.
And Jim Boeheim and Izzo.
Yes.
And the list goes on. But, guys, Kansas has bad luck in New Orleans. 0-2-0-3, they lost to Syracuse. 12, they lost to Kentucky. And now another 10 years later, all in New Orleans.
That just tells me the Final Four is in New Orleans too much. Get Nashville in here. Take some of these bids away. Get Nashville in here.
It's happening. It'll happen. Yeah, they that 0-2-0-3 one, that was Carmelo.
Mello.
That was,
yeah.
Yeah.
And how ironic. York both my schools shots. Beating Kansas.
Wow. I didn't think about that part of it.
Oh, now you're claiming Syracuse?
I sometimes do.
Yeah, sometimes. Keith from Bowling Green on the text line says, Kansas could win the title and then before next year get it stripped from them. This is coming from Keith from Bowling Green on the text line. I guess that's possible.
Yeah, well, but I would think probably not because it shouldn't be related to this team. So, you know, obviously these things go back. It's just that the NCAA, well, I mean, we go on and on about their enforcement process and everything.
Very timely.
So, yeah. So it's more likely that, you know, whatever they come to, they will penalize Kansas. But, you know, when you vacate a title, which the NCAA does not want to do, I mean, they had to do it with Louisville in 2013. But when you vacate a title, that's because these things happened in that season. So I would not expect that to be the case. If Kansas wins it tonight, I don't think anybody's going to mess with that banner or this championship. But, again, like serious sanctions – some kind of a suspension for Self, postseason ban for probably a year. I wouldn't think it'd be more than that, but maybe, but probably just 1 year. It's probably about as intense as it can get. And Bill Self carries on, and you know his contract makes sure that no matter what happens, I mean, basically he can go out and commit like 78 felonies and still not have his bonus touch. So good for you, Bill Self.
So with that in mind, do you think that there's a Kansas hatred that has swept the nation? Do you think that people are actually – it's going to be overwhelmingly people rooting for North Carolina in this game tonight?
Well, you're probably right. I mean, I'd like to imagine that, but there's still a – yeah, there's still a North Carolina, backlash that's always going to be there. I mean, any sort of blue blood, But again, that's the same thing with Kansas. So I guess I would say if you're really going to look at the situation and, you know, weigh it out like that, wouldn't you choose Carolina in this situation? Rick Bozich, longtime college hoops writer, he tweeted right after the game. He's based in Louisville. He tweeted right after the game, "Finish the job, Carolina. Save America from Dollar Bill."
Dollar Bill.
I saw that quote. I was like, yes, Rick Bozich. Yes, baby. That's how I feel. That's how I think people should feel. Do they feel that way? I don't know. It's a lot easier with like Krzyzewski or Auriemma, you know?
Sure.
But I've long felt like Bill Self got a total pass. Again, let's compare him to Calipari. I think he got a total pass if you look at everything we know about those programs. Like Bill Self is just kind of like the old aw shucks kind of guy. I guess people just like him. But I think he got a pass with all the stuff with the FBI investigation. We all focus on Will Wade. That's the salacious stuff.
Yeah.
It's not that it wasn't written about, talked about, and all that stuff, but it's still just sort of he seems very Teflon-y, you know, the Teflon Don, Bill Self. So I don't know. Maybe people have come around on that a little bit. Again, Carolina is Carolina, so there's already going to be this ew, no. But Hubert Davis, to me, pretty likable. And by the way, speaking of Hubert Davis, very upset with with the broadcast the other night. I wanted to see if he shook the hands of the Duke assistants.
Yes.
Or if they shook his hand.
Me too. They just focused on Kay.
Never saw it. I know. We're already going to see Kay on the golf cart, you know, and riding off in the sunset. I mean, I heard there was someone tweeted that John Shire and somebody from Carolina got into like a little yelling match and had to be separated, but I haven't seen the video on that either. That's what I was here for.
Yeah. If that's the case, the rivalry is allowed to continue with Shire taking over. You start yelling at people all the time.
I guess, but he just, I don't know. I'm not, he just doesn't seem like he's going to, he just seems boring, you know? I'm sorry. Not that Hubert Davis is out there rattling cages, but like, I don't know, man. It's just not going to be the same.
It's not. I was disappointed after the game. Coach K did not tell anyone to be quiet. I was really hoping he would. Didn't tell anybody that I saw to be quiet after the game. Missed opportunity.
Well, I'm sure at his actual like retirement barbecue or something, he'll get after the caterers or something.
Was a little part of you sad to see Coach K walk out the door the other night, the final time? Maybe the greatest college basketball coach ever. Depends on who you ask.
Well, I mean, it's still I the thing is we normally don't get this, like, here's my farewell tour.
Right.
You know? You normally just get, okay, I'm retiring. Oh man, wow. I guess it's kind of cool to have this. I mean, look, it made for great drama to bring it all the way to the Final Four. And you know, the other day I get mad about people who are like, oh, he did it the right way and blah blah blah. Again, like, he did things that you do. Like, their program did things you do to have the absolute best talent. It's just reality. But, I mean, I still, at the same time, like, people go way too far that way. I mean, he's still a great coach, and I think an absolute credit to the game and all that stuff. I mean, just because, you know, every single player who's played for Duke is not a 4.0 student who would never so much as take extra cream cheese on their bagel, you know, it doesn't mean that, like, he shouldn't have tons of respect and appreciation from sports fans and college basketball fans. He should.
Coming up next, we'll get into the Tennessee-Vanderbilt series over the weekend. Joe Rexroad was there for every single game, and what a series it was. We'll get into that next. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How was that situation explained to you with the bat?
I guess, you know, the sticker came off during BP. There was no sticker on the bat. You got to have a sticker. We've actually, since I've learned that, we've got a few bats that somehow conveniently the stickers have come off. So, I don't know, but I don't even know that Jordan Beck should be at University of Tennessee. Forged his transcript, and is actually a 35-year-old man named Mike Honcho.
That was Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello on Friday night on his interview with SEC Network. That turned into quite the wild story over the weekend, Joe Rex wrote, of Jordan Beck and his bat. Jordan Beck hits a homer. They inspect the bat after the home run is hit. He's called out because the proper sticker was not on the bat, and those were Tony Vitello's comments explaining it to the SEC Network. What a weekend for Tennessee. They sweep Vanderbilt. Their pitching was outstanding, and I believe I read a stat where they scored more runs than Vanderbilt had hits this weekend. So big-time stuff for the Vols. They've now, in back-to-back weekends, swept Ole Miss, at that time the number one team in the nation, and now have swept Vanderbilt as well. What a wild weekend over there at Hawkins Field, and Joe Rex showed you were there for every second of it.
Yes. And it was quite a weekend. And yeah, I mean, Tony Vitello with one Talladega Nights joke turns a little controversial moment into, let's sell some t-shirts, yep, everybody. And the Mike Honcho t-shirts are going to be flowing like PBR in Knoxville.
Shake and bake.
So there's two stories. Oh man. KFC and Taco Bell for dinner. So there's two stories that are huge here. Well, huge. Two stories that are separate. One is, you know, Tennessee baseball. You know, they had a freshman, a sophomore, and a freshman on the mound this weekend. You know, Chase Burns is a huge recruit. That's a big time score for Tony Vitello. That's a guy who, you know, maybe you would see him end up at Vanderbilt. Or actually, maybe you'd end up seeing him going to the pros right away, which is what a lot of people thought. Well, he's at Tennessee for 3 years. He's a Friday starter. As a freshman, he's special. You know, Chase Dollander, okay, you got a guy who was at Georgia Southern last year, looked really good against Tennessee. Vitello notices him and is like, hey, you know, or whatever happened, you know. I mean, all of a sudden, he transfers to Tennessee, and he's a heck of a starter as a sophomore. So he's got this year and next year for sure, and I think there's two guys who pitching in the majors. And then you have Drew Beam, who has had tons of injuries, Murfreesboro kid, big. He's got the frame and everything, but he's had injuries. He had not quite – Tommy John last year, but it was like torn UCL. It was like partial. Yesterday, I don't know that Vanderbilt, I think they hit maybe two balls hard off him. Complete game shutout. Just tremendous pitcher. So these are your weekend starters for the Vols. This is the story of the, they lead the nation in homers, all that stuff. That's great. They play great defense, by the way. They do everything well, but those pitchers are so good. And I know Vanderbilt fans look at it and say, well, the lineup is not great right now and guys are slumped or whatever. No, this was about Tennessee and their arms. You know, they got Ben Joyce, who throws 103 miles an hour. The dude was, you know, taking a bullpen session before they got on the bus. They didn't need him this weekend. They got Blade Tidwell, who was supposed to be their ace. He just came back from injury. They didn't need him. Like, he may take one of those, although I'd be surprised. Like, Drew Beam yesterday was like, yeah, if Blade takes the spot back, then I'll be great. I'll go. I'm like, dude, you're not going anywhere. Blade Tidwell is probably just going to be a heck of a middle reliever for this team. It's absurd how good they are. They're 27-1, and they are the number one team. They just went to former number one Ole Miss, swept them, pounded them. Just went to, you know, Vanderbilt, which was what, number 3-1 poll this week, but. You know, they've been number one or number two this year, just absolutely dominated them. This is the national championship favorite. That's one story. The bat is the other story.
Well, and the bat was quite the story. I mean, there were signs over the weekend as well. Some of the comments made by Tennessee players, you know, they hit the home run right after the bat incident, and I can't remember who it was now that hit the home run, and he comes back and just starts running down. He touches home plate, examines the bat, and throws it aside. There's a lot of feistiness out of this Tennessee baseball team as well, including an interesting quote yesterday from Drew Gilbert about, hey, you know, when you're stepping on somebody's throat, crowd seems to get a little quieter out there. I believe it was you that asked that question.
Yeah, he was almost done with his session, and he was Drew was good, but he's one of those guys who Drew Gilbert is one of those between the lines that, like, you know, between the lines, he's as trash talky and just intense a guy as there is. And then, you know, he's pretty soft spoken and chill, you know, doing his talking to media or whatever, just once the game's over. So I asked him just about how it got more quiet, because it did. Like, in that stadium Friday night, it was so intense, so emotional, so much screaming. I mean, there's pure dislike between these two programs, the fan bases, all that stuff, right? I mean, by Sunday, it seriously was just – I mean, the whistler wasn't even whistling. It was just like, Tennessee's winning. I mean, it was – I mean, Tennessee sucked the life out of the place. They really did. So, yeah, I asked him that, and he gave that quote, and I said – as soon as I said Gentry, Mike Wilson, hey, none of you use that. You're not allowed to use that quote. That That's quote right. is embargoed for me. That's or right. you have to pay me to use that quote. But, of course, everybody immediately tweeted the quote.
Of course they did.
Yeah, and then right at the same time as we're talking, across the way, Tim Corbin is saying, I just want to take a hammer and hit myself over the head with it. So what a weekend. I still look like Vanderbilt, you know, they're 4-5. I mean, they have lost 4 in a row in the SEC, so it's I'm not saying it's not time to be concerned.
They're going to be
fine. I think they're going to be fine. Actually, their starters were good. And I think their starters are going to be just fine. They've got plenty of arms. They've got to get it going hitting. But again, I just look at this more that it's more about Tennessee and the excellence of their pitching. But the bat stuff is it's bigger than this series. It's a very, very weird situation. I spent the entire weekend, because I'm sitting there Friday night like, okay, so what's the outcome here? Like, how does this work? So I spent all weekend trying to talk with the SEC and figure out how this works, and it's just a really stupid – it's a stupid system. Like, you can't make a big – you can't have a situation where the ump takes the bat and the manager's coming out screaming, or the coach coming out screaming at the ump saying, give me the bat, and you go back, and take it off the board. And then yesterday, as we're doing our availability, they take the bat and hand it back to Tennessee. Thanks, we'll go home with this bat.
Yeah.
Is it bad or is it not? Like – is there punishment or not? This is my question with the SEC. I told Herb Benson, I'm like, so all weekend, Jordan Beck is getting screamed at. He's getting screamed at by Vanderbilt fans. You cheater! Did your mom know you cheated? I mean, all weekend, he's a cheater. You're getting booed and all this stuff. Well, if he had a totally fine bat and the sticker fell off, shouldn't we find that out?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be good to validate him? And the flip side is, if the bat is in fact, you know, was in fact altered, shouldn't it be tested? Shouldn't there be punishment? Shouldn't you try to deter people from doing these things? I don't. It's weird. It's to me, it's weird. Like, if you're going to have these machines, they have a machine that does it. I learned a lot about bat altering this weekend. You got a machine that does a compression test, you know, because the compression has to be a certain thing. You know, again, you can like roll bats and do different things to basically get a little bit more power out of them. We're not talking like the old school, like Howard Johnson, you know, smashing tennis balls into his bat, which, by the way, I love Hojo. I'm still upset that the Tigers traded him to the Mets in 1985. But this is, you know, there's things you can do with aluminum bats to basically give you, you know, what 30 more feet on your fly ball. But hey, that might mean 3-4 warning track shots that become home runs in a given year. And for a given player who's trying to get to the pro, you know, I mean, these things happen. People try to find edges. So if it's a big enough deal to have a compression test and have these stickers and have this whole thing where you can have a situation like we saw Friday, why then is it like, oh, and by the way, okay, see you later. Here's the bat. Bye. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Why is there no outcome? I don't understand. And to be clear on this, this is an NCAA thing. So this is not like it's just the SEC. The SEC has been doing stickers since 2015, but this is an NCAA. They govern all of this. So it's them. So be surprised that it makes no sense and is weird and, you know, it leaves everybody dissatisfied. But to me, this should be a situation where something changes in that way, because what's going to happen, and I'm already seeing it, all the Vanderbilt fans saying what? Oh, the cheating balls with their dirty bats. Hey, look, I mean, fans are going to say what they're going to say. But why not either validate that or not, and punish people if they do something bad, and then make it so other people won't want to do it? Because if I'm a player in college baseball looking at this situation, then I'm really not too bothered about bringing a bat that's non-compliant to the park. And you can have as many as you want in your dugout.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Very weird. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Vanderbilt and Tennessee. A weekend sweep for the Vols at Hawkins Field. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Write down their deals, including half off for the Woodhouse Spa, the Mainstay Restaurant, Brooklyn Bowl. Plus, you can experience a 60-minute float session from Float Horizon for just $39.50. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Talking Tennessee and Vandy baseball. Taking your thoughts on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, this comes from Lance on the text line. Wow. Y'all are acting like the Vols won the College World Series. It's coming from Lance on the text line.
Well, Lance, they did not win the College World Series. However, if you tell me right now this team will win the College World Series, I'm not going to be surprised. This is the favorite to win the College World Series. Long way to go. But look at those pitching numbers, not just this weekend, throughout the year. It's been consistent. Again, it's... I mean, obviously, Tony Vitale is a great recruiter, and he's out there. He's getting kids who are making tough choices. That's what you have to do. It's what Tim Corbin has been doing for a long time. You got to get kids who are making that tough choice between just going right to the pros or going to college. And plenty of, Tennessee's had some guys who opted for the pros. Vanderbilt's had a lot of those over the years. But you get some of those guys in. So Chase Burns, huge recruit. But you get the Georgia's. You get the Georgia Southern transfer, you get the kind of banged up kid who all of a sudden just emerges, and you've got already a really good roster. They just get better and better every year. They went to Omaha last year, so it's not like this is some uncharted territory. Like, this is the best team in college. They're 27-1. They're 9-0 in the SEC. They're destroying everyone. I mean, this is not made up fairy tale stuff. They are crushing everyone.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's obviously a long way to go, and we're a long way from the College World Series, but they're 27-1. I mean, you got to give them credit for what they've done, and they've been incredible so far in the last two weekends against Ole Miss and now against Vanderbilt. I mean, sweeping those two teams and doing it in the fashion where Tennessee did, where quite frankly, it wasn't just a sweep. They totally dominated Ole Miss and totally dominated Vanderbilt. I mean, it's pretty impressive what they've been able to do. Devin from Dover texting in says, Mike Honcho, baby, that sticker didn't keep Vandy from getting their butts kicked. They need to learn how to field a pop fly before they worry about our bats. This coming from Devin from Dover on the text line. What's some adventures out there at times for Vanderbilt in the field, especially Friday night. I mean, there's a couple balls that dropped for pop flies. On Saturday, you had a chance to get out of an inning, you throw the ball back to second base, all you have to do is make a tag, and instead you try to throw it back home, and just some uncharacteristic errors from Vanderbilt over the weekend as well. And they were talking about this on the SEC Network broadcast. At times, just didn't look like Vandy baseball defensively.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was a weird inning, and I think it was a and of course Corbin after the game was like, catch the ball, but I mean, I think that was a twilight inning, so yep. They just kind of, I mean, it was very weird. You got your right fielder at the fence, and you got the ball dropping, like a shallow pop fly, in the grass. I mean, so they had some bad luck with that, but I agree, they didn't play clean baseball. They made some base running mistakes. They had some fielding mistakes. I thought they had too many at bats where they didn't battle, but again, when I say they didn't battle, they didn't hang in there. They didn't drive up pitch counts at all. This is also, again, credit to the Tennessee pitching, at least in that way. But I agree, they made too many mistakes. And I think some of this is I mean, Tennessee jumped on them in every game, and they were feeling it. You know, they were feeling the little bit of the pressure, I think. I think some of that can be attributed to playing a really good opponent, and maybe you get a little bit outside yourself, or you're just, you know, you're trying to compensate for what the other side's doing to you. So it'll be interesting to see how Vanderbilt responds to this. They've got to get a W and turn it around. I would again say I think that their starting pitching was encouraging and something to build on. They got to get the offense going.
They do. And look, I have full confidence in Tim Corbin and the Vanderbilt baseball program. They're going to get it figured out at some point, and they're going to be right there in the mix again when it comes down to the SEC tournament and heading into the postseason play as well. It is interesting, though, like we've talked about this before on the show. They're in an interesting spot. You lose a weekend series to South Carolina, and now you've been swept by the Vols, and you can kind of hear it in Tim Corbin's voice. I mean, he's always been this way. He hates losing. I don't know that I've ever encountered anyone that hates losing more than Tim Corbin does, and that was on full display once again this weekend. So, look, like I said, I've got full confidence that they're going to figure things out, but you could hear it in Tim Corbin's voice a little bit this weekend. He was not happy with the result of this weekend series against Tennessee.
No, not at all. And is he a bad loser? He's a famously unhappy loser. That is for sure. And you know, he's
salty.
Yeah, it's very different. Like Friday, it took everything to get it to 2 minutes with the post game with him, which worked out because then, like, I know Gentry and I, for example, you know, we were able to run across the field and get to the entire Tony Vitello press conference. And the same with the last couple of days. You know, I went Tennessee. You had to make a choice usually. Corbin was fast, but look, he's. It's an interesting situation. It's an interesting situation to have Tennessee be this great. I still think, you know, ultimately Vanderbilt recruits from all over the country. They're going to be fine, but there's probably, you know, some kids in this state that maybe would have been almost gimmies for Vanderbilt who now, you know, they got a really good alternative to the East. And that does make it interesting. I mean, you expect that there'd be some recruiting battles and some recruits that Vanderbilt won't get because they're going to Tennessee now, which is interesting. So, I mean, like, there's great programs all up and down the SEC every year. Sure. I mean, how many national title contenders are in the SEC every year? Six?
Yeah.
Hey, that's how it is. So you're recruiting against them too, you know, regionally for kids in the South. So I don't know if it's too much made of it just because it's a rivalry, but it does seem like it's a little bit more of an annoyance when it's Tennessee who gets this good for Vanderbilt.
I got a texture that says, it seems odd that the TV announcer said there was a wrong sticker on the bat, but Tennessee's coach said it fell off during batting practice. This is coming from a texture on the text line.
So right now, as we speak, I am posting 1,800 words on this series at theathletic.com. And I get into all that stuff, but if you want to boil it down, they have to have stickers. And before a series, you have the bats verified. And if they have stickers on them, then they can be used in the series. Well, Jordan Beck's bat had an old sticker from like a midweek game. It did not have a new sticker. After the game, he told us the sticker fell off during BP and he didn't think much of it. And then when they were checking the bat, he's in the dugout like, oh crap, the sticker came off. Now, some people would say, and I looked at one of the bats, and if the sticker is put on correctly, I'd say it's like there's no way it should come off. Like they are, I mean, it's like you may never get the sticker off the bat.
Yeah, get your keys out and dig it out. Yeah.
So that's weird. And Tennessee is supposed to put the stickers on. The two schools put them on themselves. So, I mean, the sticker thing is definitely weird. Obviously, you know, things can happen. You can have like a bad adhesive or something like that. I don't know, but that whole thing was weird. And again, the whole thing with, okay, if you have a bat, like to me, once you take that bat, why not test it? You know, to see if that bat actually is like an altered bat.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a fine bat that just for whatever reason didn't have the sticker fell off, but it's the bat's compliant. Okay, great. Then I'd test it and give it right back to him. But instead they just hold it all weekend. And here you go. Okay, thanks. Bye. What? Like, I understand, like, you don't want to spend your weekend testing bats, but you have the equipment to test the bats because that's been invested in. This is NCAA mandated, you know, testing. The SEC put out a memo this week saying, make sure everybody keeps your stickers on, because this happened for an Auburn game where they took a bat away. And I was going back and forth with Herb Vincent yesterday, like, so why don't you guys want an outcome with these things? And he didn't really have an answer. One of his emails started with all due respect. So, I mean, basically tells you, tells you. Eventually, I got very annoying for Herb Vincent. But it's weird. Again, this is not – I mean, this should not be considered any factor in Tennessee obliterating Vanderbilt, okay? And really, this is about pitching more than anything. And, this is – it's one at-bat, one home run taken off the board. But – I promise you, for the team that's leading the NCAA in home runs, this is going to follow them because other fan bases are going to make sure it follows them. And to me, if I'm Tennessee, I would also rather be cleared. And even if not cleared, if it's one bat that's bad, okay, fine. It's been taken care of, move forward, versus this like weird thing where we really don't know still what the deal was with the bat. It's pretty stupid.
It is. With all due respect, Rex Road, shut up is what that guy was saying.
Yes. Pretty much.
Oh, they get another Talladega Nights reference. We could go Talladega Nights all day long here on the program if we need to.
Hey, we don't think we have enough Talladega Nights on the program.
I don't think so either. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Tough loss for the Predators over the weekend. We'll get your thoughts on that as well coming up next. Speaking of the Predators, season tickets for the Preds 2022-23 season are on sale now. Full half and quarter season plans are available. You can join the Loyal Legion today and receive the best seat locations, priority access to 2022 Stanley Cup playoff tickets as well. And as a season ticket citizen, your tickets for round one of the Cup playoffs will be up to 20% lower than your regular season price. Tickets for round two of the playoffs will be the same as your regular season price. So that's something you're going to want to check out. Season ticket citizens also receive season-long benefits, including concession discounts, Nashville locker room discounts, pre-sales to shows at Bridgestone Arena, saving on Preds Foundation events, and much more. You can learn more at NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/season tickets.